Okay, we now have three people in one. So Stuart will impersonate Martin Porcher on the job. In front of you, Stuart Reed. Take it away, Stuart.
Thank you very much. Just before I start, this is just started working on this. It's pretty sketchy at the moment. I guess one of the reasons why it's useful to present it here is to give you a kind of preview of what kind of things we're doing and get a bit of feedback on it. Anyway, so I'm talking about initiating use of voice-activated devices, producing and co-producing action with the Amazon Echo. So there's been a lot of talk about conversational interfaces and conversational design. This is the world I work in, is human-computer interaction. This is what people are starting to talk about. If you've not used the Amazon Echo and Alexa or any of these other devices, here's just a brief kind of example for you to understand it.
Alexa, remind me to fix my clock.
I put fix my clock on your to-do list.
Thanks.
Okay, so a couple things to note. One, the top lights up, so you can see when it's heard you. And obviously it answers simple kind of questions or follows simple commands. So what's kind of happening there, just under the bonnet, this user is called Batman, the YouTube user. He says this. This is a very, very, very brief summary of the kind of things that go on. This then gets recognized as this kind of string, remind me to fix my clock. There's some kind of confidence value associated with how confident the system is that is actually the case. Then it breaks it down using something called natural language processing, some kind of parsing, natural language understanding, into probably these two things, I'm just guessing. An action, remind me, and a variable to fix my clock. And then the Alexa, the Echo produces this response. I put fix my clock on your to-do list. So this is involving some dialogue management parts of the system and some text-to-speech, some vocalization elements. Okay, a couple of things to note. There's an interaction loop going on here, speech-text transcription, lexical parsing, dialogue management, text-to-speech generation. It's not moment by moment, okay? So this is actually an important feature in some of the examples we'll see. And the picture here is kind of, I've got the state-of-the-art kind of system that's being done in research at the moment. So we've done some existing work on this, already mentioned. We've looked at how the Echo embeds itself into, or is embedded rather, into everyday life, home activities, the sequential organisation of requests and response to the device, things like repair. We've looked at kind of device use generally and the moral order of the home and categorisations. So we've done some initial work on this. And I wanted to start looking or thinking about kind of utterances at stage and accomplish interactions in a bit more detail. Basically, that's kind of what I'm interested in doing. So the phenomenon of interest, I guess, is a few things. These are quite sketchy at the moment. I'm not sure exactly if this is the right thing. Something about initiating actions with a voice interface. How people start doing stuff with voice interfaces. Something about how to produce talk address to the device in the right way. I guess this connects with things like repair, formulating, reformulating utterances in repair, and self-repairs and stuff like that. And also I'm interested in kind of co-production, so we'll see this a bit later, talk address to the device. So there's obviously a lot of work on co-production in a general social organisational sense, in Goodwin's sense, of kind of participating in generating a story with some other people in the setting, but also in a kind of sentential, sequential sense. I guess that's sort of some learner's work. And of course, as co-production in production of repair. So these sort of three things are kind of interested in. Now, what we did, or what Martin did, he's actually not here, is do a study as part of his PhD. And he collected a load of data, audio data from homes. He deployed the Amazon Echo, which you can see here depicted at the top, into five different households. They're month-long deployments. He built this thing called a conditional voice recorder, which basically records a minute before and a minute after the Echo gets triggered. There's a wake word, Alexa, which then starts, you know, Alexa doing stuff, but obviously you might miss that. So he built this thing that basically does that for you and collects that kind of before and after context. And it's open source, and you can contact Martin if you want to use one of these, because he can help you build one. Anyway, so I've got a clip. Sorry, the text is very small, and I don't have a handout, but we're going to break it down in a minute. So hopefully you can just sort of make out what's going on. This is from part of the data. There's a family which will revisit in various places, talking to the device.
So how do I tell Alexa about what's in stock on my shopping list?
You have three items on your shopping list. rosemary, marshmallow, beef.
Alexa?
Yes?
Alexa, I've bought everything off my shopping list.
You have three items on your shopping list. Rosemary, marshmallow, beef.
Alexa, please delete shopping list. Why did you not start?
You can remove an item or clear your list to the Alexa app.
What? But you weren't done it for me. Alexa, please delete marshmallow from shopping list. Alexa? Alexa!
Alexa! Don't you buy me,
Alexa! Alexa!
Please delete marshmallows from shopping list.
I'm not quite sure how to help you with that.
Alexa, you are going to have a timeout now. Sit on the...
No, tell me, is that?
Sit in the naughty corner for 10 minutes, Alexa. Alexa, sit in the naughty corner for 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Starting now.
We've got tons of stuff. It's gold. This is obviously a family. There's a mum and a dad and two kids. I'll use that and also other examples to illustrate something we're talking about. So we're talking about initiating actions with Alexa. Something I think might be like pre-initiations, things that happen before you initiate action. Failures to initiate, formulation work, something like backstage actions, and competitive production. Now these two things probably should be swapped around in terms of the order, but it's easier to show you what goes on to begin with. I think it sort of tends towards, gradually towards doing stuff with other people, co-producing these sorts of actions with the device. So, let's just re-listen to this clip.
Alexa, please delete shopping list. Why did you not start?
You can remove an item or clear your list to the Alexa app.
So first, I just want to explore the frame within which initiations with Alexa operate. So there's this kind of compound format that you have to use, wake word plus a question and or directive of some kind. After the initiation, there's some kind of marked pause for the interaction loop to take place, 1 to 3 seconds. And then Alexa produces a response, which is kind of in the way that we saw before. So that's what it looks like to initiate an action. Some utterances kind of look like initiating actions from Alexa's point of view, but not from the participant's perspective.
So how do I tell Alexa about my shopping list?
You have three items on your shopping list.
So here I think Alexa plus sort of shopping list are probably being picked up, and Susan's sort of doing something else with this, looking for help perhaps, but you know, you can see she treats Alexa's response as surprising with her own. And it's worth pointing out that voice interfaces are kind of greedy listeners. They just listen to everything, basically. And if they see something it looks like is the right thing, they just go with it. So this clip is from a party with a couple of people. It's a New Year's party, and they're talking to their Alexa Echo device.
Alexa, shut up.
Hey, Alexa.
Apologises
for being so rude.
So here, there's some music being played, and Nick is saying, "Alexa, shut up." Okay. So initiations can be constructed in this kind of compound format, but they're basically doing something else. So jokes about the device in this case. So Isabel's utterance here is ostensibly addressed to the device, but it's sequential placement matters. So it's kind of a third-person apology about something that I guess can't be apologised, something that can't be apologised to. And there's something about the moral order of Alexa talking around and with the device going on here. So that's kind of about initiations of action. But what happens sort of this stuff, and I've sort of, before actually doing that, I call this kind of pre-initiation thing. I don't really know what to call it. Let's just listen to this clip. So this is from another place in this family's dinner conversations.
Actually, they beat the intro, didn't they? Alexa, beat the intro.
So, beat the intro is kind of a game you can play with the device. Okay, so what's going on here? This is kind of before actually initiating action here, which Susan does later. Alexa, beat the intro. So Susan's got to topicalise her particular kind of interactional project, and that's kind of is trying to align this towards others to play the game with this device. This enables Liam to kind of produce his assessment of Susan's project. Oh no. And you know her utterance to the device sort of effectively acts as a kind of resistance towards that ongoing challenge, as you can see by Liam going no, he does not want to play this game. So there's sort of some sense in which people can do stuff before they actually then lay the groundwork, set the stage for actual interaction with the device. This is a different kind of pre-initiation here. Here we kind of get, at the top, I won't play the clip, we get a request for help by Susan, and this sets the stage for a kind of prospective utterance to Alexa in lines 12 to 13. Alexa, I've bought everything off my shopping list. And there are kind of, essentially there's a bunch of different identical responses from Alexa. She just repeats what the shopping list is. And this kind of occasions Carl's help later on down, say, please delete shopping list, he's instructing Susan how to actually interact with the device. So this is kind of, you know, this pre-initiation here of what she's about to do with the device that leads to this kind of help later. Although obviously it does pick up what she's saying. As I said, it's a greedy listener. So now I want to look at kind of failures to initiate anything with the device, with Alexa. And this is dealt with via various repair practice. I'll just listen to this again.
Alexa! Alexa, I bought everything off my shopping list.
So this is a really simple example. We see loads of this, kind of restarts. So I think in the 2 seconds gap, there's some sense in which nothing's happening with the device, so a restart is done of the wake word, repeating the wake word component. This is probably an orientation probably to the light being on, but also if you can't see the light, there's probably an orientation to the duration, the amount of pause between you saying the wake word, Alexa, and what actually kind of, whether, you know, there's a kind of gap there or not. So I think what it starts to show us is some kind of sensitivity towards what I'm going to call kind of Alexa talk and the right way to do that talk. there are other kinds of strategies for repairing action with the device. So,
Alexa!
There are different kinds of strategies to repair, differing prosody and also volume to try and fix what's going on, fix the non-response. And I think also what's interesting here is that kind of collaboratively dealing with the non-response, basically re-topicalising it as a joke, essentially, something that's laughable. And the failure to initiate is treated as a joke here by, an opportunity for a joke by Carl. How do users of Alexa kind of formulate their actions with Alexa? So I think Liam in this example gives us a look, so I'll just play this again. This is sort of from the end of the clip.
Alexa, you are going to have a timeout now. Sit on the...
What timeout is that?
Sit in the naughty corner for 10 minutes, Alexa. Alexa, sit in the naughty corner for 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Starting now.
I think this is kind of interesting because I guess it potentially relates to this idea of sort of self-repair. So in this paper here, I've just got this quotation, self-repairs give us direct access to the alternative designs being considered by speakers. So basically as experiments of different possible courses of action. And you can see people doing this with the device very often. And I think I picked this example from the first large fragment because Liam, the son of the family, does this in a very interesting kind of way. So Liam's doing kind of formulation, sort of reformulation work. He's gradually working through kind of fitting his utterances to this very, what is essentially a very restricted way of interacting with the device, this kind of wake word plus question or sort of directive afterwards. You have to also produce this directive or question in a way that's kind of without disfluency, so that's another problem. So the device itself is essentially not moment by moment, as I already said. It doesn't pick up stuff moment by moment. It takes what you give it, and then it processes and then returns it back. But I think we can see how some of the participants here are kind of finding a way to progressively establish in a moment-by-moment way what it is to do the right thing and say the right thing and do Alexa talk correctly. And obviously in here, people are displaying some kind of orientation to this ongoing accomplishment of formulating Alexa talk, and they're laughing about it to some extent. They're finding it amusing. So how do... I think I just missed a section there. So that's kind of how people are formulating these kind of utterances to the device. But there's a whole load of other stuff going on, which is in the clip, which is relates to kind of what I think of I've heard it called backstage actions. So I'm just going to play these two fragments.
Rosemary. Marshmallow.
So is this one.
Alexa, please delete shopping list. Why did you not start shooting?
So one of the consequences, I guess, of Alexa talk is that Alexa talk is situated around a load of other stuff being done, a load of other utterances. So here there's kind of the production of utterances that are perhaps more rapid or quieter than preceding talk in order to accomplish this kind of backstage work. So Alexa doesn't hear, but someone else does in the setting. So there's this kind of orientation to various prosodic features to distinguish what Alexa talk is with kind of what is sequentially proximate conversation. And there's some sense of kind of people marking or treating the Alexa-oriented parts of their talk in a particular kind of way. And essentially kind of this use of this backstage work or backstage actions lets participants establish how to speak with and around the device safely. Basically to work with what is non-moment-by-moment input as also a kind of greedy listener as well in a moment-by-moment way. So I've got some other examples of that just next. So this is another example. It's slightly different, I think.
Alexa, play Beat the Intro.
So, here...
Play Beat the Intro.
Here, Carl provides this kind of a timely opportunity for Emma to produce what is essentially a different directive to Alexa. So, he kind of orients to this kind of pause that seems to always come after the wake word, which we've established for various good reasons. And he offers an alternative course of action, to question what Emma's prospective action might be, the command to play Beat the Intro, to play this game. So in doing this, in saying, in questioning, is it called Beat the Intro? Is that actually the command we want to actually use? He's displaying kind of orientation to this one at a time, sensitivity towards this one at a time talk to the device. He's kind of waiting for the gap, and it's kind of precisely sort of timed. There's also a sense in which this could have been something where Emma had then ultimately gone to question what her command actually would be, and something that looks a bit more like co-producing directives to the device, which we'll see in a bit. So the next example does a bit more of that. So here we've got a different family. We've got Rob and Joanne. They've also got a child, but he's not featured in this. They're trying to play some music with their Alexa device.
Alexa, who sings Wuthering Heights?
Wuthering Heights is by Kate Bush.
So Rob is sort of providing a resource, if you like, for Joanne's ongoing production of this of her Alexa-directed utterance to find out who it is that sings Wuthering Heights. There's kind of orientation by Rob to various disfluencies that they're produced. I guess disfluencies is speaking from a speech technologist point of view. And the elongations, or pauses and those sorts of sensitivities. So I think he's just sort of displaying what this and then coming in with a suggestion to fill in essentially what Joanne's ultimate question to Alexa will actually be. So this looks a bit more like the co-production of Alexa Talk, monitoring others' production practices and with a sensitivity to their utterances as hearably kind of Alexa Talk, Alexa Director Talk. Oh, I keep missing these points at the bottom. They're extremely important summaries of what I'm saying, but I'm sure you'll find very useful. Right, so There are also the things that look like we find more collaborative actions than that as well. So I'll just play this clip.
Alexa. Alexa.
Please delete marshmallows from shopping list.
I'm not quite sure how to help you with that.
So you have to just believe me, but it's really hard to hear. But there's something going on in the background here, and I guess it could be related to passing things around the table. We don't have the video to know, but also the way that it's sequenced with some of the addressing done here to the Alexa and the handover between Liam and Susan makes it potentially look like Liam is essentially initiating these actions. Alexa, he's doing the wake up, Alexa, and then saying, there you go, and Susan says, thanks, and then she continues with the second part of the address to the device. So it's kind of split across the wake word, which is kind of interesting. As I said, I'm hesitant to say that this is definitely what's happening because it is a dinner table conversation, so there might be other stuff going on as well. But we see this in other examples that obviously I decided not to pick for the talk for some reason that I can't explain. But we see similar kind of things where someone might get the device going and then someone else takes it up, basically. So essentially kind of the utterances to Alexa and the construction of Alexa Talk provides, in the course of its production, features for its completion, potentially by others. So finally, in contrast to kind of this collaborative co-production that I've started to move us towards looking at, there is also something that looks like competitive co-production term construction units being employed to address the device. So I'll just listen to one of these. This is from another place where the family is doing something else, playing some music together, essentially.
Alexa.
Hold on a minute.
Resume music.
Oh. Okay, so Alexa plays music after that, as you can see. So there's sort of competing projects at work, with the device at work here. And I guess it surfaces a bunch of matters around sort of things like entitlement to address the device. There's no right to device input going on here, so participants use prosodic methods, overlap avoidance or latching, and sheer volume to manage access, and we see this quite a lot, and obviously this is a particularly good example. Right, so just to sort of close, just some sort of reflections on this stuff. I think this is really key, understanding the wake word and questions/directive kind of format that people orient to, and I guess it made me think of this paper by Lerner. I'll just read out the quotation. Any turn unit, or this is defined as any turn unit in which in the course of its construction projects a preliminary component plus final component turn format, i.e. a compound turn format, constitutes a compound turn constructional unit. And it's a little bit like this, but it's also not like this in various ways. So Alexa requests are a really restricted class of these kinds of things, I think. Also, the other difference is the second part is not like the kind of endlessness of kind of final components that Lerner describes. So, you know, if X then Y, when X then Y type forms that he talks about. So it's not like talk, but it is a little bit like that kind of talk. Essentially, you know, utterances and progress act as input to the device, not a kind of conversation. And voice interface use suggests a kind of far more restricted form that participants have to develop, essentially what I've called Alexa Talk. And there's considerable kind of fitting work they're doing all the time to kind of work on this. And that's potentially what's interesting. So I'm not really a CA person, but I'll try and make some implications for conversation analysis, and at least what we do, which is take stuff from CA and use it to kind of understand voice-activated devices and then think about design recommendations or design changes. So the first thing to note is that voice-activated interactive systems are a moving target. They change all the time. So you could say, well, all the stuff you find out, well, it's just going to be different in like a year's time and people will have different practices. So to some extent that's the case, but I think these two things are interesting to pursue anyway. So firstly, people who are using things like Alexa leverage methods and must leverage methods from everyday talk and then rebuild them for device address talk. And secondly, there's a significant impact of learning and doing things like Alexa Talk, I'll try to show, on talk sequential organisation itself. I think I've shown some of this. And there are potential implications for this. I don't know what they are yet. I think there's also, for me, just the final point, there are lots of tensions in understanding all of this stuff. So I guess the question is what role understandings of underlying mechanisms that I kind of hinted at the beginning actually play, and sort of system logs, transcriptions of what people are saying according to the device, what role they actually have in analysis, and kind of what, these kind of mechanisms that we saw at the beginning, the outline at the beginning, have to be discovered by test participants. So I guess it's a question of kind of what you actually do about understanding all that stuff, because it's quite complex, and it does kind of explain why things don't work or do work. From a participant's point of view, they don't have any access to that, but they still discover them nevertheless. So, yeah, on that note, I'll stop talking. So thanks for listening. Thank you.
Cooper, excellent. Thank you very, very much, Stuart. Becky Barnes.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks. It's really interesting. I don't have one of those devices, but it's intriguing. It would be great if you could get some video, I think, because I'm just wondering whether the what you're calling the wake word is kind of like a summons response sequence. So if people have to say the word and then the device lights up before they then launch a question directive. Maybe it's not one of the compound units, but maybe the two things are being kind of conflated together.
That's a really good point. I mean, yeah, we absolutely need video. We sort of, I think we come across that problem again and again in understanding what's going on. We do have some colleagues who have done video recordings. They've got a lot less data, but they do have some video recordings, so I think we should probably spend some time with them or try and find a way to do some video capture. So obviously we also have them in our lab, so we kind of use them so there's some personal experience, but I think it's a really good point, actually, yeah.
So Magnus has had that first, so Magnus,
I'll make it brief. Okay, thank you very much. I have two short questions. Okay, the first
one
is... okay, well, you called the thing the machine does action plus something else, and maybe it should be called directive plus something else, like directive, and then the thing you need to put the directive on.
And the wake word plus...
No, you call it actions, recognizes the action it has to perform and then what it has to perform the action on, something like that, right?
So that's in the parsing of it.
There's
a whole load of stuff around how it parses what gets done, what gets said to it, and then how that's parsing then gets surfaced in weird, unusual ways back in responses. So that's a whole...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole
I was thinking maybe it would make more sense to just call it which directive it's being instructed to do, because it seems to be responding to directives, but not to many of the other actions like resummoning, like when Alexa, and then Alexa. If it could respond to that as an action, it would say yes.
Yeah.
Because
knowing,
he can't see my light, whatever.
So there are technical reasons for that. That's a really good point. The summons is done on device, so it's not as good as the voice recognition that is then sent to the cloud, which is the bit after the summons. So there's actually a disparity between who can actually wake it up and who can actually then ultimately get something understood by the recognition system in the cloud and stuff.
That's
good. So but again, they're technical things.
And a
question back.
So that's a really interesting question. So firstly, we definitely got examples where people are teaching one another how to speak to the device. That's one point. Another point is, we've not looked at it yet, but we've got this PhD student who's doing research on visual impairment and voice interfaces, which is slightly different to what you're saying, but there are elements where people are using it for something that's more. A lot of this stuff is kind of, there's not much at stake. It's kind of, they're actually sort of messing around with it or getting it to play music, do something that's not necessarily mission critical, but we're interested in also looking at situations where there is more, yeah, just more at stake, which would be maybe one of those type of situations.
I'm sorry to cut it short. There's plenty more to say to Stuart, but let's leave that until coffee, and thank him once again.